In today's episode, we discuss the false prophet. He's like the Antichrist, partner in crime. The Bible said he looks like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon.
This show is dedicated to making Bible prophecy simple. Our agenda is clear. Reveal the future and show you how to prepare for it. Jesus is coming soon, and it's our goal to help you be ready. Welcome to the Bible Prophecy Show.
Thank you for joining us here on Bible Prophecy Show. My name is Brian Gogler, and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, Reverend Brian Smith.
So good to be here.
Now, today is episode number 3, and we're going to talk about the false prophet. And the last two episodes, we discussed and dug a little bit deeper into the Antichrist. Yeah. So when you're done listening to this episode, make sure you go back and listen to episode 1 and 2. You're definitely going to want to do that.
You know, it is required to make the rapture for you to go back and listen to our first two episodes. If you don't listen, you're not going. So go listen.
All right. You heard that. You have to listen to episode 1 and 2, and that'll get you plugged in. But before we go any further, I want to go ahead and clearly state our purpose. I do this every time, but it's really important to us. There's really three things we want you to achieve as a listener. One is equip. We want to equip you with the knowledge of the end time events so you can have a better understanding of the Word of God. Number two is motivate. We want to motivate and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus Christ. We want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
And we also want you to achieve the purpose that God has just for you. And the third thing is provide. We want to provide an outreach tool for you to send to your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers, ones that you want to be able to win over to the Lord. We want as many as possible to be a part of the second coming of Jesus.
That's right. Not everybody feels comfortable giving a Bible study, but with this program, you don't have to. All you have to do is send them a copy of our podcast or a link to our podcast shows, and we've done all the work for you.
That's right. And also, you know, one thing that's a little bit different flavor that we bring talking about Bible prophecy, something that really motivated you and myself, is that we're not here to bring a bunch of scare tactics.
Absolutely not. In fact, we want to dispel fear. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It'd be like the devil to want us to walk around in fear all the time. But I think what God's word does is bring element of peace rather than fear. Actually, Jesus said, I tell you these things in advance so that when they come to pass, you might believe.
Nice.
So that tells me that prophecy actually generates faith. I tell you before, then when you see it happens, it causes you to believe. So it generates faith, not fear.
We understand there's a lot of different personalities and people take things different. And our listeners, you're all in different parts of your relationship and your walk with the Lord.
Right.
Some of you are brand new, some of you have been around a long time, but that's going to be the flavor. So we're going to jump in. But before we do, I'll tell you what we're going to do again to kind of keep things light a little bit. We're looking for, it's going to be our joke of the day. And Reverend,
yes,
you got this one.
The Bible joke of the day is very powerful. I hope you're
okay.
Ready for this.
Bring it.
Who was the greatest financier of the Bible?
Financier? Judas was in charge of the money, so I guess that would be my guess.
Good guess, okay. but you'd be wrong.
Oh, what?
It would be Noah.
Noah?
Yeah, he was floating his stock along while everybody else was in liquidation.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You know what?
All right, pretty good.
A little clap. That one was pretty good. That was pretty good. Yeah, I didn't see that coming at all.
Can't take credit for it, but I thought it was pretty good.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and jump into what we're going to talk about today. Is we're going to talk about the false prophet. We mentioned that.
Yes.
And what I find very fascinating in the Word of God, and I want our listeners to get a hold of this as we talk about this, the Lord knows the beginning from the end.
Yes.
In fact, he already knows the end. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, in fact, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, it says, "Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost.'" Mm-hmm. So Alpha and Omega is the beginning and the end. That would be the alphabet, right? That's their letter. That's us saying like A to Z.
Yeah.
And then in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, he says, "I am God and there's none like me." Mm-hmm. "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, 'My counsel shall stand and I will accomplish my purpose.'" So let's do this. Let's give everybody a scope of time, because we're actually talking about I'm going to read from the book of Revelation today. And yes. I was thinking, as we were talking, wait, we're going to read the last book of the Bible, right?
Jump to the back of the book.
We're jumping to the back. So there's 66 books in the Bible, and we're going to read the last one.
Yeah,
so,
we'll skip to the back.
Yeah, skip. Well, let's give everyone a little, the kind of the mindset and the understanding of timeline of man and their relationship with God, starting in Genesis. Now, we're going to do this pretty quickly. We're not going to, you could teach on this the rest of your career and your life, all right? But let's start from the beginning. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Yeah, it's called the Law. It's also called the Pentateuch, written by Moses. It's where everything begins. And then we go into what?
Then we have Joshua, Judges, Ruth. So what happens is, during that first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote, we have all kinds of great stories. We have Noah, you know, Noah's Ark, and that people are familiar with. But something really special happens with man and with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that is, there's a man named Abraham, and he's born, and God gives him all these promises and his seed. And then he has Isaac, and then he has Jacob. But I want to stop there, because Jacob is a pivotal point, especially in terms of names. So help us understand that, Reverend.
Absolutely. One night, Jacob had a dream, and here comes an angel. And he's, before you know it, he's wrestling all night with this angel. And by the end of it, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Now, God made from Jacob a great nation, and he had 12 sons. So we read this all the time in Scripture. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and
Jacob.
Right. But Jacob's name was actually changed to Israel. And so we get all of the nation of Israel back from Jacob himself, who had 12 sons, and each of his sons became a tribe. So you have the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel.
Fantastic. So that is so important to understand. Now, what we also understand is the Israelites, now we call them the Israelites, right?
Yes.
And they don't always make good decisions.
No, they're like us. Sometimes they get off course.
Yeah, nothing like us today. We're always spot on, right?
Perfect. Our people,
yeah. Well, as they make poor decisions, yeah, right. As they make these poor decisions, they become captive. The Lord allows the Egyptians, and we're all familiar with let my people go,
yes.
Moses. Mm-hmm. And then after the Egyptians, or during the course, there's Assyrians that take them captive. There's a Babylonians that take them captive.
Right.
And so after that book, those books of the Bible, they're just explaining these moments and all these incredible things that God has done. And also we see the prophets are in there. Like, what are some of your favorite prophets in the Bible?
Oh, Daniel.
Daniel.
Yeah.
We quote him quite a bit too.
He's my buddy.
You like Daniel.
Good friends.
So Daniel, man, that is a great book to read. But also, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that is throughout the Old Testament, God talking and speaking to his people through these great acts and through these prophets. And then we have this gap. Actually, it was quite a few years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, wasn't it?
400 years.
400. Okay.
Yes,
so 400 years later, on the scene, we have Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is on the scene after 400 years, and now we've got the New Testament. So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament. Tell us about that.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament, are four different accounts of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's like four people looking at the same story, writing the same thing, but from their own vantage point. But then you get into the book of Acts, which is where the church was born. And then after that, you have the epistles, and that's Romans all the way through Jude. These are letters written to the church on how they ought to live their life as a Christian. And then we have, finally, the book of Revelation.
All right, so you mentioned John is one of the Gospels written. He also wrote the book of Revelation,
yes.
And that's where we're getting most of our text from today.
Yes.
And so there you have all that time frame. But there's one other thing I want to mention.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have talked about this in the past. People live and people die, but spirits in this earth don't go away. So that same spirits that were attacking the Israelites, God's people, whether it was Egyptians or whether it was even more modern, even the Russian, was it Bolshevik Revolution, attacking the Jewish people, which, you know, again, are the children of Israel. We call them Jewish or Jews as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also Hitler trying to eliminate all these people that are of God off this earth. That spirits never went away.
Never went away. Angels don't die, and demons are fallen angels, so the demons don't die. And so you have these same you know, the devil really doesn't have any new tricks up his sleeve.
No, he doesn't.
You see the same thing over and over again. You see back in the days of the Egyptians, you had the Pharaoh telling them to kill all the babies and throw them into the Nile and let the crocodiles eat them, killing all the babies, right? And they were trying to kill the deliverer, Moses, right? And I believe it was actually Satan that possessed that Pharaoh to do that. Well, that same Satan was alive when Herod came along and tried to kill baby Jesus as the deliverer.
Same thing.
Moses was a foreshadowing of Christ. And so they tried to kill Moses, and then they tried to kill baby Jesus. And what did they do that? Kill all the babies in Ramah. The Bible says in the Old Testament, there was a voice heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, for they were not. In other words, they were going to be killed. This was a prophecy. It came to pass when Herod tried to kill baby Jesus, trying to kill the Messiah. So that same spirit of Satan that was trying to kill the deliverer Moses through the Egyptian Pharaoh used Herod to try to kill baby Jesus.
And you know, I want to tie this into what I said at the very beginning. Because God knows the end, all along the way, he's been speaking to his people, and this is where we get our Bible prophecy. To us, it's prophecy. It's in the future. God already knows exactly what's going to happen. So that brings us to the book of Revelation, and that brings us to our main lesson today on the false prophet.
The false prophet, absolutely. If you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, if you listen to our previous podcast, we started there with the Antichrist in verse 1 through 8. But the Antichrist is not alone. Just like me and you, co-host of this show.
Yeah, partners in crime, if you will.
Partners in crime. So the Antichrist.
Prime time, whatever.
That's right. So it is that the Antichrist has his partner in crime, and it's called the false prophet. And we'll get to where he's named that specifically in Scripture at the end. But
you know, that's something people talk much about. I mean, I can think of all the conversations. I rarely hear anyone talk about the false prophet.
It's true.
We seem to be really tied into the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast, and those are things we're going to talk more in depth later. But boy, the false prophet, I bet there's a lot of listeners who are like, I'm not even sure if I've heard of that before.
And you know what? He's really, as far as Bible verses, he's given almost as much, in Revelation chapter 13 anyway, just as many verses as the Antichrist. And so the fact that we overlook him is pretty interesting. That's a good point.
All Batman, no Robin.
That's right.
Everyone talks about the Antichrist, but never false prophet.
Number two always gets overlooked, don't
it? Oh, man. Okay, so let's see. So we're in Revelation chapter 13 right now then.
Yeah.
And we'll be reading out of the King James Version of the Bible.
Yes.
So if you have your Bible, open up, great. If you can't open your Bible because you're driving, that's okay. We're gonna read it to you anyway.
Yes.
And so...
start with verse 11 if we can.
All right. You want me to read that?
Verse 11, that'd be great, brother.
Let me get there. I got my Bible with me today. I always have my Bible with me, but sometimes we do the electronic version, but there's something about turning those pages. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
There's something about it, and if you're a listener, you're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Some younger people are like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I got a friend of mine. He's an evangelist. His name is Christopher Banner. He told me the other day, he said, I am a Bible snob. His Bible's like, I don't know, $300 or $400. It's this,
really?
I don't know if it's calfskin or something really valuable. And there's something about holding that Bible in your hand.
There really is. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to read Revelation chapter, by the way, it's Revelation, not Revelations,
yes,
with an S in the end. So.
That's right.
Chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon.
All right, so we're talking about the false prophet, the co-host of the Antichrist. And here he comes, and this is what he looks like. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Now, let me just ask you this trivia question for you, brother.
Oh, okay.
In the Bible, who was the lamb?
Jesus.
So the false prophet is going to look like Jesus. He's going to look like a Christian. He's going to look like a lamb, according to Scripture. But you got to watch what people say. It's not just how people look. You got to really listen to, you know, it's kind of like when you buy a car, you know, you've got, here's the price, but then you really got to go read the fine print details, right?
Good point.
Because this guy, he's going to look like a Christian. He's going to look like he's holy. He's going to look real religious, but he's going to speak like the dragon, which according to Bible prophecy, the dragon is Satan. If you go to Revelation chapter 12, it clearly tells you in verse 9 that Satan is the dragon. So for all intents and purposes in the book of Revelation, when you read about the dragon, you know you're not reading about a country that is represented by a dragon like
good
China.
Yeah,
it is
point.
Satan himself. So the false prophet looks like a Christian, but he's going to speak like the devil.
So we've got this religious slant to it.
Absolutely.
He's a religious figure.
So if you happen to be here on this earth and you happen to see popular religious figure on the earth getting behind a microphone, looking like a Christian, looking like Christ, but yet saying things that are opposite of what Jesus would say. Like Jesus said, the scripture says, worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. We're not going to worship this other man as God, but yet we're going to find out real soon this false prophet is going to point to a man and say we should be worshiping this guy rather than Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So that sounds like the devil to me. That doesn't sound like the Lord.
Nothing but trouble.
So let's go ahead and read verse 12, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
To your first point, we don't hear a lot about the false prophet, but did you hear what that verse said at the very beginning? He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. So he's going to be just as powerful of a figure on the world political scene as the Antichrist himself. And this really goes back to the way the Holy Roman Empire was set up. They always had a king, it began with Charlemagne, and the Pope was the religious leader, and they both had the same level of power and authority. And it looks like the Bible is painting this same picture. When the world comes to a one-world government right before Jesus Christ comes, the political dictator of the world, which will be the Antichrist, he'll have a partner standing alongside of him, but he'll be a religious partner. And he's not just some religious guy. He's a very powerful guy. Mm. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. He's going to have just as much power and authority as the Antichrist. So if he wants to snap his fingers and say, kill that political dissident, this person that's coming against my candidacy, somebody's going to go kill the guy. He's got tremendous power.
That's incredible. Wow. Yeah.
This verse says he persuades people to worship the Antichrist rather than Jesus Christ. He causeth all, he causeth them on the earth, which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, speaking of the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, we'll talk about the deadly wound later because it's probably a whole show. It's a big...
Wow. Okay. That's something to look forward to.
Okay. What else can we learn about the false prophet?
Well, you want me to keep reading? I think we're going into verse 13.
Yeah, let's read verse 13 and 14.
And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And verse 14, again, we're in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live.
Now, can you imagine being here on earth and you're on the Temple Mount and you're right in the middle of that final 7 years, right? You're at this event called the Abomination of Desolation. You're in the newly rebuilt Jewish temple. There's the Antichrist walking in, stopping the animal sacrifices. And by the way, there's his religious partner standing right beside him, the false prophet. And all of a sudden, you see this false prophet pulling down fire out of heaven in the sight of men, fooling them, using those miracles as a means to fool everybody on earth, and to tell people to worship this man as God. He's fixing to claim to be God, but he needs some kind of a show, some kind of a sign. We know it's a wicked and perverse generation that seeketh after a sign. But you're going to see a man pulling down fire from heaven in the sight of men and then pointing to the Antichrist saying, there's the real Messiah. Worship him as God.
Wow.
And if you don't, you will be killed.
You know, when I hear scripture like this, when I read through, and I've talked about it before, really up until recent times, when I get the book of Revelation, I read through it like my annual, reading through Bible scripture, but I don't spend a lot of time in it because it was very confused until I really started to dig in. But when it says cause a, let's see, it says right here, make fire come down from heaven. I was thinking maybe that was like, maybe like a helicopter shooting something down. But you said something today I had never considered, really. It says, and he doth great wonders. And I thought, okay, maybe it really is fire coming from heaven. And you alluded earlier in the last couple of weeks that God gives them power. They have real power in this earth.
Absolutely.
So, wow.
They do. And the devils can perform miracles. But the scripture, there's a scripture that says that these are lying wonders and lying.
Yeah, so
I don't know to what extent it's going to be real or to what extent it's going to be fake, but I do know it's going to look like the real if it's not, and it very well could. And the devil does have power. We do know that.
Uh-oh. Are we saying maybe there could be some AI behind some of this? Could some of it look like a wonder, brighter than it really is, or more often than it is?
You know, I've wondered. I know that there's all kinds of military secrets that they have. You know, until about a decade ago, we didn't realize that they had these weapons that were sound waves. And you can shoot it across the ocean. You can shoot it from the sky and make, if you're walking out in the field, they have this machine up in the sky. They can point to the ground and make sound effects like tanks and battalions and guns firing. And you would think there's a war going on. And you would run for your life thinking they're out to get you and it's just a sound that they've beamed from the sky. Now, if they can do that, why can't they do that with some kind of a hologram or some kind of visual from the sky? Mm-hmm. Only problem with that is then you've got to come up with, well, how did this, I mean, if fire's going to come down, it may basically light up an altar and a real fire happens. So yeah. I don't know to what extent it'll be fake or real, but what I do know is scripture plainly says this guy's going to call fire down from the sky right there in front of me. Now, here's the reason you need to understand Bible prophecy.
Okay.
If you don't know Bible prophecy, you could be deceived. Scripture says that times are going to get so bad that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. That means even if you're right with God, if you don't know your scripture, there's a possibility you could be fooled. Think about this. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that prophesies, that says before Messiah can come, Elijah will come. What did the prophet Elijah do on Mount Carmel when he was challenging all the false prophets? He called down fire from God out of heaven. Now, if you're the devil, right, you would want people to think this false prophet is Elijah coming right before the true Messiah.
Exactly.
Which they would try to paint the Antichrist as the true Messiah. Jesus, the disciples brought this up to Jesus. The disciples said to Jesus, hey, we've heard that Elijah must come before the Messiah comes. And Jesus said, truly, Elijah already did come, and they did whatever they wanted to him. And God made their understanding to open. He opened the disciples' understanding. The scripture says, and they understood that he spoke to them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the fulfillment of that prophecy. He wasn't Elijah in person. He came in the spirit of Elijah, and that's what that prophecy was about. We know John the Baptist was a man in the wilderness saying, you know, make straight the way of the Lord. And so that was his job, to get everybody ready for the real Messiah. And so, but the Antichrist, what he's going to do is try to play on that Old Testament prophecy, saying that Elijah hasn't come. John the Baptist wasn't Elijah, and Jesus wasn't the real Messiah. I'm the real Messiah. And the proof of it is, here's the real Elijah, pointing at the false prophet. Call down fire from heaven and prove you're Elijah, just like the real Elijah did. And when they see that, if they don't know what the Bible says, they're going to be fooled by that.
Talk about a master of deception that knows the Word of God, that knows exactly how to deceive those that don't know the Word of God.
I've said it a million times. God does not make junk. And what I mean by that is, even when he made a devil, he made a good devil. Think about this, Brian. When he was in heaven, he deceived a third of the angels into leaving their first estate and coming against God.
He's got skills.
So without the Holy Ghost, we're no match for the devil. You know, there's no way we could understand the truth and be saved and not be fooled by things like this that are coming on this earth if we happen to be here. There's no way that we could not be deceived without knowing this from the Word of God and without the help of the Holy Ghost to guide us.
Well, you know, I think in when we read through that, the Gospels, and we talked about Acts, and that second chapter, first and second chapter specifically, that is so uncritical that during the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and talked about, you know, Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And he goes on and says, it's for you and your family and all the far off. And so what a powerful message to get us prepared to not only live our daily lives, but to be able to see through these false doctrines and teachings.
Yes, and a lot of people don't know about the Holy Ghost. They don't know how to be properly saved. You know, a lot of people just believe, and they haven't done much more than that. And while we praise you for believing, there is a few other steps that the Bible makes it very clear that we all need to take. You can go to our website there, and there's a link called Born Again. You can click there, and you can read about how to be saved the Bible way. Jesus said, unless a man is born of water and of spirit, being born again of water and of spirit, he will in no wise see nor enter the kingdom of heaven. John 3:3 and John 3:5. So we want to make sure everybody knows how to be born again.
That was great. It's kind of like a little commercial. All right, let's jump back in. We're on verse 15 now. Is that where we're at?
Yes, sir. We know that the Antichrist participates in enforcing the mark of the beast, the dreadful 666. Have you ever heard about that before?
You know what? Since I was a small child. And it's in comic books, and it's in movies, it's been talked about, joked about, speculated upon.
Everybody's heard of 666, you know, and it even in line, if you go through the store and you buy something and it rings up $6.66.
Someone go say something.
They'll either take something away or add something to the purchase.
Oh, the buyer,
I'm not, this ain't good. So, but a lot of people don't know what it means. They do not know what 666 means. They just know it means the devil's number or something bad. And so let's go ahead and discover what it means. If we could, now I know this is a few more verses, but if you don't mind reading verses 16 through 18, that would really help us.
16 through 18.
Yeah.
And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Okay, so he causeth all, everybody, small and great, fat and skinny. No, it didn't say that. That's Brian's version. Small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell. Now, so this is a control mechanism. You know how to control people is food, money. Yep.
We could do it, and I'm sure we'll have to do an entire episode just on the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
It's such a there's such demand for people to better understand it.
Yes, we've
people use it. It's on rock band concert covers and stuff. It's everywhere. Yeah. Boy, but when you learn what it's all about, I wouldn't want anything about it.
You know, the devil's all about control. You know, Jesus isn't like that. He says, "Whosoever will, let him come." You know. Yes, there's a judgment day, but he gives everybody the power of choice. The devil's not like that. You know, you give the devil an inch, what does he do?
Takes a mile.
He'll take a mile. That's just the way he is. But the Lord is a gentleman. Scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It doesn't say I kick the door down and I take what I want to. He wants to sup with us. He wants to visit with us, but he is a gentleman. That's not the way the devil is. So if I'm the devil and I want people to worship me instead of God or worship me instead of Jesus Christ, the only way I can do it is to make them do it, to make them do it by fear, not by choice, to take away their ability. Hey, if you can't feed yourself, if you can't pay for your roof, unless you get this mark, and I mean,
I tell you, what comes to my mind is a parent. I've had four children. I have a grandson now. Is I'm thinking of two things, all right? One is what we went through with COVID and how easily people were into taking steps because it was required. But what I was getting at is I can imagine that mom that's got those children or whatever the situation is, I'll do anything to feed my family and myself. If I got to take it, I'll take it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll worry about the consequences later. So those are the things that scare me, quite frankly.
Well, and he's not just going to say, hey, you can't buy or sell without this mark. He's also going to kill people that will not worship him as God. Remember, the Antichrist, when the Antichrist is revealed, he's going to go into the temple and claim to be God. He exalts himself above all that is called God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. He's going to make people worship him as he wants to be worshiped. The devil's always wanted to worship for himself. When he got kicked out of heaven for non-performance, before he did, yes, please hit that.
Okay, that was funny.
Thank you.
I never thought of it for non-performance.
He got kicked out because he was a non-performer. But here's the deal. When he got kicked out, he was saying things like, I will ascend to the Most High. I will be like the Most High God. He's always wanted to worship the glory for himself. So you and I are never more like the devil when we want the glory for ourselves. But what he does, according to verse 15, let's actually, if you don't mind, reading verse 15, and then I'll talk about it.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
Okay, so we're talking about the false prophet. The false prophet is going to have power to give life to this image of the beast. So there's going to be an image. I don't know if it's going to be a TV screen. I don't know if there's going to be a sculpture that comes to life, like miraculously through demonic power. I don't know. One way or another, there's going to be an image of the Antichrist put up or placed there or built. Seems more likely to be a television or something, you know, but we don't know. We don't know. It could be a statue that he uses demonic power and it comes to life. But however it's going to happen, he's going to have power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast, of the Antichrist, should speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast, that they should be killed. So it's going to be almost like a living idol that came to life, right? And he's going to say, bow down and worship this, and if you don't, we're going to kill you. It reminds me of the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fire. Bow down to this golden Nebuchadnezzar's image, you know, and if you don't,
wah, wah, wah.
That's right. We will put you in the fiery furnace.
Wow.
But it's not going to be the furnace this time. It's you know, probably beheading people, as we find out later. This is a bad guy.
Wow.
False prophet's not somebody you want to hang out with.
I noticed as I was reading through there, it didn't use the term false prophet.
Yeah.
So I know it does somewhere in the Bible. We need to dig into that.
Absolutely. It's Revelation 19 and verse 20.
And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone.
Okay, so the beast was taken, the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles. Remember, he's the one that's going to be pulling down fire from heaven in the sight of men, down from the sky. And then also he's the one who instituted the mark of the beast, 666. This is the guy that did all these things. And Scripture plainly calls him in Revelation 19 and 20, the false prophet. So right. Though he's not called the false prophet in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18, we know that that's who he's talking about, is the false prophet.
Well, can you give us some good news? You know, this has been some downer stuff here, though it's important. What's the good news about this character?
Jesus Christ is going to put both of these jokers in their place.
That's good news.
There's a battle called Armageddon that's coming, and I'd love to tell you it's going to get better before it's going to get worse, but I can't tell you that. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But it's like any good book. If you skip to the back of the book, you know we win.
That's right.
Jesus Christ comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, and of course, we with him. And when we come with him, we're going to establish his kingdom on this earth, and we're going to reign with him as kings.
Praise God.
For 1,000 years. It's a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. After that, we will be with him forever. And so it's going to be wonderful when the kingdom of God actually gets here. But until he gets here, we've just got to know these things so we're not deceived.
And that's what we're doing today. Awesome. Okay, well, I appreciate that. You really shine the light on that. I'm sure many of our listeners maybe have never even heard of that before, or you just seem to have a way of taking some very complex scriptures at times and make them very simple and easy to understand.
Now it's time for our personal application, and I did the talking last week, so I know you've got something on your heart this week.
I do. So For this part, we either tell an application or tell a story or something to, you know, kind of bring us together and show a little bit of light on us. I want to tell you a really quick little analogy, if you will, that God gave me. So it was, I don't know, it was years ago. I was in my prayer closet and I was saying to the Lord, why does it seem to be getting more and more difficult to live for you?
Yeah.
It seems like there is no cruise control. There's no taking a break. If I'm not praying, fasting, reading my word, doing my best to work for the Lord, it seems like things are going, I'm going backwards. So I closed my eyes and all of a sudden I had this image in my mind. It was very clear. And it went back to when I was a child and I was gone. I was taken to the mall. And it was a really cool thing. We went into the mall and there's this thing called an escalator.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I had never seen an escalator before. I grew up in the country. And this was like, oh, big mall. Wow, these stairs are moving by themselves. Huh. So we went on and we got on the escalator and we went to the bottom. It was so cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, this is great. These stairs are automatic. Mm. And I get to the bottom and I don't remember what happened, but we stopped and we were all talking and whatever, my parents and so. But then I said, hey, Mom, Dad, I want to run up the escalator the opposite direction. And so I went over there and my brother said, come on, let's try this, you know. And we started running and boy, did we have to run hard. Well, just then I began to realize the Lord was answering my question.
Yeah.
And living in today's, we're in 2024 right now.
Yeah.
It's, we're on this escalator. And by the way, we're going against the grain. Okay. So the escalator, if when I stopped on the escalator, I started going backwards.
Hmm.
So when I stepped just at a slow pace, I didn't make any ground. But when I ran, I had to really work hard. I didn't run necessarily, but I was walking as fast as I can. I had to do that to make it up to the top, which we eventually did and got off at the top. But boy, was I exhausted. I did not want to do that again. Even as a child, I'm like, that took a lot out of me. And that's really what our relationship is like in today's time, is we get closer and closer to that day of the second coming. That if I just pause and wait, I'm going backwards.
Backwards.
And by the way, in my image, in my mind, the bottom was hell. Hmm. It was fire. And the top, of course, was heaven and this great greatness with the Lord. And so I use that now, all these years later, to realize that's why we have to keep pushing towards the Lord. We have to keep learning, praying, reading, fasting, learning about the word, because this nature that we're in and this the society is just going down. Yeah. So what's happened is that escalator speed has been turned up. It's not the same as it was in 1970s or 80s, maybe we're little. It's been, so I can't just pause.
No.
I'm going backwards, so I have to walk faster and faster, and it really causes and motivates me to push harder.
That is such a powerful thought. It makes me think of the Old Testament and the tabernacle. If the fire went out in the Old Testament tabernacle, you know what you couldn't do? You couldn't go get a match or a lighter and just light it back up. You had to restart it all over again by friction. And so, in other words, there's no easy way out of this. You know, a lot of people would love to give you, well, here's three steps to being a super Christian, you know, and make life so easy. But really, I'm not saying it's difficult, but you can't just coast into heaven. Actually, the scripture says to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive means to put great effort into it.
Right.
You know, depart from me, thou worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. He said that to the one who took his talent and hid it and didn't do anything with it. He became lazy. It is really easy in these days when you've got video games and movies and social media to just kind of put God and this Bible and prayer on the back burner and just do what you're talking about. Just coast on that escalator. But
doesn't
if you,
work.
If you do that, you're going backwards.
Yeah, you're going backwards. That's for sure.
Wow.
All right. So the next segment we have here is
quiz.
Yes. And today's is going to be, where am I?
Where am I? You're right over there. I see you.
No, not me. I mean, this. Yeah, that was funny. It caught me off guard there. Okay. So where am I? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give four hints of a location in the Bible. Uh-huh. And we're not going to give the answer until next episode.
Oh, great.
So, but we'll do it at the front end of next episode.
Okay.
We'll give the answer, and then the back end, we'll give a new one. So we've got four hints here. Let's rotate every other one.
Well, wait a second. Well, if they know this, are you saying they're spiritual?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And if they don't get this,
they're not spiritual.
They may not make the rapture. I hope you out there in Radio Land.
I'm not throwing the gauntlet down like that. I'm just saying, if you don't know it, then you're going
to. I hope you out there in Radio Land know the answer to this, because hell is hot and eternity
no
is long.
No pressure. No pressure. All right, here we go. I'll start with the first and we'll rotate. The first hint that we're giving to our listeners on the Where Am I quiz is this. Where am I? I am a city that Paul wrote to in the Bible. And there's also a book of the Bible named after that city. So we've really narrowed it down right there.
Yeah.
But what's another hint?
I am located 125 miles south of Ephesus.
Hmm. Motivating somebody to look at their map of biblical times.
Get that Bible out.
Mm-hmm. The next one.
Philemon.
Philemon, or however you want to pronounce
it. I've heard it a hundred ways. So
yeah, I know.
No wrong
Philemon,
way.
Philemon, Philemon. He's a person and a book of the Bible that was a member of the church there.
Hmm. Okay. D, what's the fourth clue?
Epaphras was an individual. Man, he planted the church in this area.
My, my.
So that's the four that you get. If you need to hear it again, rewind it.
Absolutely.
Rewind the podcast. Dig in the start of next podcast, we will reveal the answer to that quiz.
If you don't know it, find it out and get spiritual over the next week. That's right.
All right. So let's do a segue here into the next episode.
What do you want to talk about next week?
Well, we're going to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And you mentioned something a while back, and I want to make sure we talk about it. And that's Daniel's dream of the five world empires.
Oh, yes.
So we want to better understand this, and that's what we're going to talk about next episode.
I think that's a great choice. If you start with that foundation, you can really build on it. But if you don't have that foundation, I've learned a long time ago, you don't build the roof of the house first. You start with the foundation.
That's right.
So that's a good spot.
Well, we're going to wrap this up, but the most important thing, if you don't remember anything else you heard today or the mindset, is you need to be ready.
Be ready.
Make sure you're ready.
That's right. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Get born again and go to church and live for Jesus.
God bless you. Look forward to hearing you in the next episode.
Thank you for joining us on the Bible Prophecy Show. Tune in next week for another exciting episode or visit us online at BibleProphecyShow.com. Or you can listen to all of our podcast shows, enjoy our blog, and learn how to be born again to make heaven your home.